Welcome to Feels Like Healing, a series of conversations between myself, Al Lewis, and individuals who have turned to creativity as a way of helping them heal. Our need for healing is universal, however, the reasons behind it can be oh so varied. A difficult childhood, a traumatic experience, or perhaps a bereavement and our need to process grief. My search for healing stems from the death of my dad, who died when I was 21 from multiple sclerosis. I believe that hearing other people's stories can help us to process ours, and that the act of being creative can help turn something seemingly hopeless and incomprehensible into something beautiful and hopeful. These conversations are here to provide solace and inspiration, and to show you that healing can happen when we take our deepest pain and turn it into a work of art. This is Feels Like Healing. My guest this week on Feels Like Healing is Tert Summers. Tert is a vocalist, rapper and songwriter from South London and one half of the jazz rap group Summer Sons. They have so far released 4 albums, as well as working with some of the UK and Germany's finest producers. They've also toured with Children of Zeus, Melody Symphony and Flo Fills, solidifying themselves as one of the UK's best underground trios. Their 2019 album, The Rain, focused on the grief that Tert felt following the loss of his stepdad, Bill. And that grief was also mentioned on tracks such as Never Walk Alone from their previous album, Uhuru. So, as you can see, there's plenty that I think that will be pertinent to what we talk about here on Feels Like Healing. So, hello, Tert, first of all. How are you doing, mate? You okay?
Good, yeah, I'm good. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. It's nice to have you here. As a fellow, someone who used to live in South London as well, which part of South London are you coming from today?
Proudly coming out of South. I'm in Streatham, but I'm actually in my studio right now in Bermondsey.
Oh, nice, nice. So maybe you can start us off with telling us a little bit perhaps about when creativity first came into your life and music in particular. When did that bug hit for you?
I think creativity, I mean, my earliest memories, like my first love was drawing. I've always been quite visual and kind of have a thing about shapes and patterns. And drawing was something I always did as a kid. I spent hours and hours. And then, yeah, music kind of crept in. And I don't know, I think it always just held a special resonance. I don't think there's, as much as I'm a visual person, there's the way that music hits me and makes me feel, I've never had that with any other kind of art.
Because Summer Sons is a band you're in with your brother, am I right?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, so was music always something that you guys did together, or was it not till later on that you sort of decided to come together and start making music?
We've always had very similar taste, and like, I'm the younger brother, so I always kind of had someone show me music, and my taste is definitely very much shaped by him. But it was definitely more something that Slim pursued earlier than me. Like, he played guitar and he played bass, and he actually studied it. He went to college and did music production. And I'd kind of played around with mates with the rapping thing when I was younger, but never really took it serious. And it wasn't until a bit later on that we kind of joined forces.
And what was the catalyst for that, for wanting to create a band and put music out there for the public to listen? What were your dreams and aspirations about doing that?
I mean, I don't think we had necessarily big dreams at the beginning. For me, it's always been an outlet. It's such a vent for me and a way of expressing things that maybe I'm not doing day to day. But yeah, I just needed a producer, basically. He was kind of doing his thing, making more like kind of garagey, but a bit more ambient. Anyway, it was a completely different style, but I'd kind of been writing in kind of secret, like I hadn't been brave enough to share it with anyone yet. And then, yeah, it just got to a point where I was like, actually, no, some of this is quite good. I want to start recording it. And I've always loved making albums. I've always loved listening to albums as a whole. And I think that was probably my biggest dream of like putting a project together. Yeah, so I just come to him one day. I was like, listen, I need some hip-hop beats. And that was it from the jump. He just never looked back. He was on it straight away. And I think he's really found his calling with that anyway. And yeah, the rest is history. We've never stopped, basically, from that day forward. It started off in the bedroom. And yeah, that's probably maybe just over 10 years ago now.
And so you alluded to the fact there that you said there were perhaps things that you didn't feel confident or comfortable in talking about that you felt that perhaps you could express more easily in songs and through rapping. At what point did that sort of bravery to talk about things come through the songs, or was it something you felt straight away that you could just unleash what was going on inside your head into the song straight away, or did it take you a few tracks before you felt comfortable enough to do that?
No, weirdly, I think it was pretty instantaneous. Like, I think that's what was so alluring to me. It was like when I was on top of the beat, it was like I felt that freedom to just really speak my most inner truth. And I don't know, I think at first it wasn't even something I was conscious of that I was doing, or that it was cathartic. It was just like, I've always been really drawn to like emotional music. I remember as a kid, always like there'd be that one track on the album which was really like somber and melancholy, and that would be the track that I would love. Yeah, I think it's just tapped into something in me that I wasn't even conscious of before, and now I am, and it's like something I'm kind of actively pursuing, that release.
And so I mentioned in the introduction that you sadly lost your stepdad, Bill. He was a big part of your life. And had it been something that you'd been able to talk about before you started writing about it, or was the writing the first instance that you could talk about your grief?
Firstly, he was a massive part of my life. No, I think that was the way I processed it from the jump, really. Like, it was very sudden, like we didn't see it coming. He actually passed away of a heart attack. So it was all just kind of totally out of the blue. He was in another country. We were actually away on tour at the time. So it was like a mad whirlwind of circumstances. But no, I mean, it absolutely rocked me. I was a proper dummy. But I think that's what got me back on my feet, was the music and being able to pour it into the album, The Rain. I actually listened to it on the way over. I've not listened to it in a while. And I'm really proud of it. I always think, like, I don't know how much, out of all of our albums, I always think this is the one that I think that's the least listenable, unless it's really relatable content. But yeah, as I say, I listened to it this morning and I was proud of it.
Yeah. When you say it's the least relatable, do you feel that because you feel like not many people of your age have experienced grief, or what is it that you think makes it the least relatable?
I think it's just a heavy album. Like, it's very deep. It's pretty sad. Like, there's definitely moments of light, and I think that's something we always try and inject into our music, and that's kind of like always that silver lining.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's not the kind of album you're going to put on a sunny afternoon and relax to. It's like a real headphones in, take it in kind of one.
But isn't that what life is? Life is the yin and yang of both those things, isn't it? It's the dark and it's the light.
100%. Yeah. And I think that's really like the foundation of what our name stands for, like Summer's Sun. Summers is our surname, but it's that kind of struggle between dark and light that really underpins what we do, I think.
So maybe you could take us back to, well, first of all, before we talk about the album The Rain, you mentioned to me that there was a track on the album before called Never Walk Alone. Is that the first time you think you'd delved into talking about losing your stepdad in song?
Yeah, it's funny because actually the way the albums came out, they're all coming out quite a lot of time after the fact. So like, he passed away in the end of 2017. Uhuru came out in 2018. So that was the last track that went on to Uhuru. Never Walk Alone. He was a Scouser, so that was a big football fan. But also there's kind of two meanings to that. And yeah, that was the first track where I'd really written about the loss and the grief.
I'm just stunned, trying to find my tongue. Mind is numb, deaf, blind and dumb. Your time's come, hit me like a gun. Thought I'd see you live to 91. Beside my mum, loved you like a son. You'd still be real in all that I become. Lead your daughters, guide your wife and your sons. Shine bright in the sky with the sun. So much still to do, live the life he built for you. He loved us all more than life, and that's still the truth.
No one can... I'm interested to know what the dynamic was like with your brother, and I take it he knew what you were writing about. How did that change your relationship with him and how you both approached grief, was it, did it help you both to open up about how you were feeling?
Yeah, I think it definitely connected us. And I come from like a family that we're not too great about talking about our feelings. And I think we're slowly breaking that mold. But yeah, it was just, it was all consuming. And it was like, I guess a few tracks in, he kind of knew the tone of what we were working on. And the beats very much reflected it. So it was like we were both very much in the same headspace.
Did it feel like a catharsis to be making that album and to be, particularly, I suppose, doing it with your brother as well?
Massively, yeah. I mean, music's always a catharsis. And as I say, it was all consuming at the time. And it wasn't really a choice of like, right, let's make an album about this. But it was like, I think my music always reflects what's going on in my life. It's a bit more like a journal. So naturally, it was just the theme kind of formed itself. It wasn't that intentional, but as it was so consuming through that period of my life, it was like there was no other topics that seemed more important or that needed to come out of me, I guess.
Lost a father and a partner, what's the answer to the misery? Mother is a martyr, watch what karma delivers, she's hard in spirit, soft physically. Mad hardship, it's really deep. Dark marks scar the heart visibly. Still I build something, spill another beer. Nothing's clear, still nothing like my mother's ear.
Knowing that that was the topic that you're writing about, did you then feel ready to open up about it if you were going to present it in a live form and also like talking to people about the album? Did you feel you had that inner strength to open up about what the album was talking about?
Yeah, so we released it 2 years to the day of his passing, so like a fair bit of time had passed, and like, I mean it's still very raw, but I think that's kind of the beauty of it as well. It's like it's immortalized those feelings, but by performing it and talking about it, I'm also kind of keeping him alive in a weird way.
Definitely, yeah.
I definitely feel really empowered when I perform the tracks and like I mention his name to a room full of people or there's a bar about him. It definitely fills me up.
Does it feel like a weight off your shoulders in terms of thinking about him and perhaps, like you said, the grief that maybe you couldn't articulate, or maybe the things, I don't know, for me, I don't know how you feel about it, but I've used a lot of my songwriting when I've talked about my dad in terms of having those conversations with him that I never got the chance to. I don't know if that's something that rings true with you. Did you find it as a good way to talk to Bill, like say things that maybe, you know, you weren't able to say to him before he passed?
I mean, he was in my life for a long time, but there's always that thing of like, did that person know how much I appreciated them and how much they meant to me? And I think by putting it in song form, you kind of, they might never hear it, but you get to express that at least.
Has the grief and has that album in particular and that writing, has it changed the way you've written since then? Has it changed your outlook on creativity?
Yeah, like that was our second album. As I said before, like I don't think initially it was a very conscious thing that I was doing of like, oh, this music is a really great way for me to get all these feelings out. But I think that album really showed me this is the purpose of why you do this. This is why it's so powerful. Mm. And I've always now tried to strive for that to be as raw and as real as I can be.
How do you find it now talking? Do you still feel as empowered to be vulnerable and open about your emotions now as you did then with the rain? Is it still that place that you go to in order to, yeah, to process how you're feeling?
Definitely, 100%. I mean, so much has happened since then. Like me and my brother have both become dads. I've had all kinds of ill, like health problems. All of that just gets channeled into the music, all the ups and downs.
Like you, I've recently become a dad, and I don't know, having lost my dad, that sort of, that twin relationship of my dad to me and me to my kids has really inspired my music. Has that sort of outlook influenced you as well in terms of thinking back about what your parents did for you and then trying to implement that onto your kids?
Massively. I think there's nothing that makes you mature quicker than becoming a parent. And you suddenly realize like, oh, no one had a clue what they were doing. It doesn't come with a manual. Like everyone's kind of making it up. And it just makes you appreciate those people even more. Like Bill was such a family man, such a good role model in that aspect. So it just makes you appreciate them even more. They're the two most kind of perspective shaking things that can happen. It's like losing someone and having a kid, equally as powerful.
It kind of puts life into context, doesn't it? And it makes you realise the circularity of everything, I suppose, isn't it? And there's almost a comfort in that as well, isn't there? Seeing the next generation coming through and gives you a purpose, perhaps particularly if you've, in our position where you've lost someone, having a new life can give you a new renewed sense of purpose, can't you? In particularly what I found in my creative life as well.
Definitely. And like it's something I kind of want to honour him. I see the way he's got three kids as well. I've got a stepbrother and two stepsisters. And like they, similar to me, but even more so, just idolise him. Like he was such a foundational element to them. He was such a rock for them. It does. It makes me want to feed it back into the creativity and kind of leave behind things as well for my little one. And I've written many songs about her. Yeah, like I want to leave her messages in the music. And I don't know, I guess when you think about death a lot or you've come face to face with it, it makes you view it in a different way. And I think I'm aware of that in my songwriting of like, these songs could potentially outlive me and people hopefully will be listening to these when I'm gone. And like, what do I want to say to people? What do I want to leave behind? And how do I want them to remember me?
I think that's one of the most deeply powerful things about music, isn't it? To think that it will outlast us. And like you say, what legacy do we want to leave behind in the words that we've said? I'm interested to know what your family think about your ability to articulate yourself in your songwriting. Do you think it helps them with their grief? Have they talked to you more about him?
I think when we all get together, like especially with my stepbrothers and sisters, we're quite good at talking about him and keeping alive. And more than anything, like he just makes us laugh. Like he was hilarious. Like he was the life and soul of the party. And like there's so many stories and things he used to do and little habits that you can just still crack up laughing about now. My own family, like my blood family, we're definitely quite stoic to our detriment. Again, this is why this has been so powerful for me, because we tend to keep things bottled up and kind of just try and keep it moving. As I've learned, that's not always the best way to deal with things.
Do you think that's also a male thing as well? We find it harder as well to open up about our vulnerabilities.
Yeah, definitely. I think as a young male growing up in London as well, like you have to kind of keep your wits about you and being vulnerable, and it's going to get you into trouble at points. So you kind of learn to wear this armour and put this show on.
And what do you find the response has been from your opening up? Do you get messages from fans who are resonating with the truths that you're sharing?
Yeah, and that's like some of the best parts for me, is like we'll get messages from people that have lost a loved one and they really relate and they really open up. And I think that's the beauty of it, is when you allow yourself to open up on the music and then put that out into the world, people really resonate with that and they'll open up to you. Like I get people coming up to me after shows and saying this album did this for me, and it's amazing. That for me is like the most rewarding part. There's no numbers or nothing that can compare to that.
Yeah, that's the pinnacle, isn't it? That's all you want, is to know that somebody has listened to it and it's helped them, and they've got where you're coming from, isn't it?
Exactly that, yeah. And also if it's helped them as well, that's just even better.
So apart from writing your own music and writing your own words, what else helps you with healing and your mental health? Have you got any other hobbies and things you're a dad, so you probably haven't got much time for hobbies.
I just about squeezed into music. Yeah, I mean, just being with family, like having my daughter as well, has just the best experience ever. So, I mean, and like you say, that eats up most of my time, but I'm pretty happy with that.
Is she into music?
Yeah, she loves it. She made up her own song this morning. I'm just a little girl. I don't know anything. But yeah, she's a natural born performer. She's always making up songs. Her name's actually Wren after the songbird, and she's got a good ear for melody. So I'm not going to push her, but I think she could be a great artist. She's very sensitive. I think that's the key to being a good artist.
Yeah. Well, there we go. Wren Summers. We've heard the name here first, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen.
That's it.
So how do you feel like your relationship with your grief has changed, and where do you see it now? Do you feel like you're in a better place with it now, having written this body of work about Bill?
It's strange because like now 6 years has passed just a couple of weeks ago, and it kind of has two sides. Like in one hand, it still feels very raw. You still miss him just as much, and there's all these things that are happening that he's not getting to see. But on the other hand, there is an acceptance that comes. It's strange, you know, like I'll hear a Scouse accent and it will like spark something, or I'll see someone that looks a bit like him. And yeah, it's still very close to the surface. I think it will probably always be a bit like that.
Yeah. I mean, from my experience, yeah, it comes and goes in waves, and it's about accepting that and being okay with that, knowing that there'll be days that are tougher than others, but that what I hold on to is also that feeling, that realization that grief is related to the love that you had for that person. So if you're grieving them, it just means how much they meant to you, really, which is always a great thing to remember.
Yeah, 100%. And I think, I can't remember the exact lyric, but on Rose Shades, it's something like that, is to grieve is to have loved, to mourn is to have lived.
I'm still missing Bill, feel your physical is missing here. Spirit missing in the sphere, this fulfilling all my realest fears. Yo, my vision isn't clear, cause I'm spilling tears. But you taught me never live in fear. Smoke billows, wet pillows, keep your widow dear. Yeah. Smoke billows, wet pillows, keep your widow dear. Still in our thoughts, in our talk. Still holding court at the dinner table. To grieve is to have loved. To mourn is to have lived. To miss is to have cherished.
And that's it. It's like the grief is so strong because the love was so strong, and that they were such an important person. And it's like they had such an impact on your life. I think in life and death, they're always going to be there.
To round off, what's the future hold for you now? What's next on the horizon for Summer Sons?
We've got a busy year. The next album is finished. The rollout starts in January. We've got the first single. Album release should be in March. We've got a tour planned for the summer. We're going to be going to Europe as well. And also just heavily involved in the Silhouettes project. If you like hip hop, jazz and soul, please go and check them out, because it's a blessing to be a part of. It's a big community project out of Hackney, just pushing the kind of sound that we make. And it's just got a great ethos. It's a kind of middle finger to the industry, artists working together and just really making things happen ourselves.
Nice. So what is it? Is that like collaborations that you're doing and releasing music within those collaborations?
Exactly, yeah. So we're actually in the middle of the release campaign for the second project at the moment. I think the first one came out in 2020. And yeah, basically every single track, it's just a different combination of artists, and the kind of coordinators of the project just have a big whiteboard of names. They draw lines and then just pull people in for sessions, and then just select the best songs at the end, I guess. And we've actually got a headline show at Coco in March.
Oh, nice. Is that Silhouettes Project or is that Summer Sons?
That's Silhouettes Project.
Cool. What are the subjects that you're tackling on this new album then, Turk?
I mean, one of the big things that has informed it was I got diagnosed with epilepsy 2 years ago. Kind of came out of nowhere, just started having lots of seizures, ending up in hospital a few times. And then I've been medicated now for 2 years and the seizures have been under control. But it's just been a whole host of issues with that as well. Like the medication is not very fun. But it was something the doctor said to me. It was like the seizures are caused by excessive electrical activity in the brain. And I don't know, that was just really profound to me. I was like, that's kind of how I've felt my whole life. Like, there's too much going on up there. And that kind of just led me down a whole different rabbit hole. And just a lot, there's a lot, it's all about change. I don't want to give away the title just yet, although the title is actually in one of the tracks on The Rain. It was taken from one of the tracks. It's a lyric, so there's a little breadcrumb. But yeah, it's all about change. There's a lot of about connection. But yeah, first single's out in January, so you'll be able to get your ears on it soon.
Oh, cool. Well, I'll be sure to put a link in the episode description for people to go and check it out. Well, thank you for opening up about Bill and your experience with grief and loss. I'm sure it will help and resonate with a lot of people who are listening. And I wish you all the best with the new album and for everything that 2024 holds in store for you guys. All the best, mate.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me, and thanks for just creating this space. I think it's super valuable to be able to talk about these things, and it's important. So thank you very much.
Oh, cheers to it.
Cheers.
You can find Summer Sun's music over on their Bandcamp page, or follow Tur and his brother Slim on Instagram @Summers_Suns. Please help by rating and subscribing to this podcast, as it will help to spread the word about Feels Like Healing. Thanks for listening.